Jim Brewer.
What's going on, Mike?
What's happening, man?
This is a fun day for me. Today goes back to my childhood. Today goes back to where I grew up in Valley Stream, Long Island, in the late 70s or early, I moved to Jefferson Avenue in 1973, I believe. My first place on Jefferson Avenue was living on top of the Lings. The Lings were a Chinese family, and we lived on top of there. So they had a duplex and we were the upstairs. And that was the beginning of probably the greatest childhood anyone could ever ask for in their entire existence. I mean, even when I had my three girls, I begged God, I'm not even exaggerating. I begged God and went, you know what? I just pray to God they have half the childhood that I have, because that moment in time, that history in my life is probably the most adored. And I'm thinking when I die, that's probably where I'm going to go back to. If they say like you go to this, that's without a doubt, I'm going to be somewhere in Jefferson Avenue. So today, you know, I've talked about before, today we have members from Jefferson Avenue, where we all grew up together, and we were all different ages. So, you know, I'm not proud of a lot of things that happened there. But at the same time, we lived freely, and there were no rules. We were outside from the minute the sun came up to the minute the sun came down. We pushed the limits even when the sun was down. We loved each other's like brothers. And it really was like that. It was like brothers, older brothers. I was clearly the oldest. So I was kind of like I would say the king of the block, which we'll get into as time goes down. But on that street, we had Phil, who was closest in age to him. Well, there was Billy, who would stare at the airplanes and all that jazz. But long story short, we're going to take you back to memory lane today and go back to the times of the late 70s, early 80s, when children didn't have cell phones and they didn't have computers and they have anything like that. And all we have was just hanging out all the time with some stories. The best way to describe it is like, imagine Goodfellas as little kids, but without the killing. That to me, that's like the best way to describe it. So I will introduce the entire Jefferson Avenue crew. Now I'm married almost 30 years, and I know everyone here longer than that. And these are guys, no matter when I see them, it doesn't matter. It just brings back a brotherhood that I can't explain. I really can't explain. Now, listen, you're going to hear stories about me here that I don't know where we're going. I really don't. Annie, the producer, put this together. I don't know where we're going. I don't know if they're going to, I don't know what kind of stories are going to come out. We'll try to talk about some stories. So I don't know if they're going to be like, hey, remember the time you were this and that? Like, I don't know. We're just going to be brutally honest, and we're just going to go for it. So without further ado, let's bring in everyone here. All right. So I got Chris, Jeffrey, Elia, and Phil. Let's start with this. So I go to baseball camp every year, right? And first of all, years ago, I tried to make this whole section here a cartoon. I wanted to make a cartoon. And I thought, and I still think we can make a cartoon. So when this really started jumping back was, I went to, I played Mets fantasy baseball camp this year. And Jeffrey, raise your hand, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I finally talked him into it. Jeff, you got to come. You got to come to Mets. You got to come to Mets fantasy camp. He's like, all right, all right. And then Ilya, raise your hand, Ilya, down there. Ilya couldn't play, but he came and hung out. We're like, you got to come in. So me, Jeffrey, and Ilya hung out. And we started telling stories. Oh my God. There was, I think there was one point I wasn't sure if I could breathe. I was laughing so damn hard. So damn hard. And what's really cool is Phil, raise your hand, Phil. Phil played Mets Fantasy Camp 2 years ago. And then what I was hoping for is maybe next year if I'm able to pull off all of us going to Mets fantasy camp. But Chris, I don't know if you're up for that. You're still in the wrestling world.
I am still in the wrestling fan, but my running days are over. I say that for in case I get hit by a bear in Pennsylvania.
Get a wheelbarrow and cart him the first.
He's got one good sprint left in him.
This runs the first. I'm out.
Yes, you can catch, man. You can catch. And they have pinch runners.
I would do that. That's for sure. I used to do it. What the hell?
The first time I saw. Where did I see you, Chris? When was the first time I seen you?
The first
after Jeff Scenario. Somewhere in PA.
We went to the Judas Priest thing at Sirius.
Oh, my God. And we were at the Hard Rock Cafe?
It was me. No, it was me, you, and Artie Cheese in Sirius for the release of the new Judas Priest album.
Oh, wait, my God. That yes, I could.
First time all those years.
Oh, what year? My God.
You kind of called me out of nowhere and said, hey, you still like Judas Priest? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I brought you to Sirius Satellite Studio, and I'm not going to lie to you. So you kind of know, I mean, to me, everyone still looks the same, including you, Chris. But the minute I saw you, I was like, wait a minute. Is that, oh my God. The minute I looked at your face, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Chris. That's Chris. But what cracked me up more than ever, when Chris was little, he got really into Hulk Hogan. You were really into WrestleMania. You guys remember that? Like he was a he was a WrestleMania maniac.
Yeah, and I caught figure four every night from him.
What do you?
I was like his wrestling dummy.
All right, so what? What everyone needs to understand is that Ilya, let's just be honest, you were hands down the most picked on. And the reason being is you were the skinniest.
Like a beanpole.
You really were. You were tiny. Yeah. And at that time, you and Chris lived together through families and the moms marrying the dad, blah, blah, blah. So Ilya in this group, hands down, took the most physical and mental abuse than anyone in this group. I mean,
he was second to youngest. Tommy was the only one younger than me, but he was a lunatic, so everybody was afraid of him, you know? So I didn't even have someone to pick on below me, right? It was like I caught shit from above and below.
Tommy did whatever Jimmy told him. That was
did anybody ever told him.
Or anybody. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Tommy was more like my henchman. So if you watch Goodfellas, Tommy was Joe Pesci. Basically, Tommy was Joe. So if I was like, Tommy, this kid, he said something about your sister. You know, I think you should get him off the street. Tommy would manhandle this child. But the thing about Tommy was he was this tall.
Yeah, I know.
He was about this tall. He was a leprechaun. He was a full-blown leprechaun until he's about 14, 15 years old. And not only was he a leprechaun, he was built like he was on steroids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a five-year-old.
As a little kid. Yeah. As a little kid.
Yeah.
And he had the mentality where he would cut the grass on his lawn with a butter knife, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this kid had, like, I don't know. It was a combination of nuts.
He was. You're absolutely right, Ilya. He was full-blown, operational, Lou Twinstop nuts. But he was part of us, so that was great. And this kid, he had a waist size of maybe 7 inches.
Yeah.
And he was 7 years old. He looked like he worked out. He was I've never seen anyone with a body like that my entire life. He was an at, and he never wore a shirt. No, he wore that one yellow shirt. What was that?
Yellow shirt.
The yellow shirt, right, with the sleeves. What was that?
Was that the Valley Stream Soccer Club shirt?
Maybe, yeah.
The SSC shirt.
You're right. He had that USA. And this is how crazy Tommy was. So when we got a little older, we would play this. We would call at nighttime. We play Manhunt. Mm-hmm. All right. Or maybe this was during the day. Actually, I take it back. I think it was during the day. We were playing something, and Tommy's running around. And Phil, you remember he tripped in front of my house and he smashed his head in the tree.
Yeah.
And he had a knot. I'm not even exaggerating. It had to be. Tommy's head was sticking out this far. It was a balloon with a little hole, and blood was starting to trickle out of it. And we're going, Tommy, go home. He's like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm totally all right. I'm totally fine.
I'm fine.
Tommy,
I'm fine.
Go home. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. There's a blood squirting out of the end of the... All of us are like, Tommy, you got to go home. I'm fine. Let's play another round. I don't know what the hell we were playing, but this is just to characterize what a lunatic this child was.
Yeah, he was indestructible. Yeah.
Indestructible. He climbed trees. Yeah.
He'd fall out of trees.
I've never seen anything like it. He would fall 10 feet, land on his back like a cat, and get up and be ready.
No fear at all.
Run out of his house, take an apple, throw it up my nuts, and run back in the house again.
Wait a minute.
I can see him doing that, too. I see him winding up.
Wait a minute.
I think Tim was behind this somehow. I don't know how. But...
Wait a minute. I remember that day like it was yesterday. Now, first of all, Jeffrey, you and I, Phil, were you there?
The day he threw the apple at his balls? Yeah.
Okay. So I think you, Ilya, were you there? I don't think you were there.
I don't remember.
We were me.
Worst pain in my life.
Me, Phil, and Jeffrey. Okay. Jeffrey, me, and Phil. Now we're the bigger kids. We are the Castillones.
Yeah. We're the captains.
We're the captains. Yeah. All right. The pecking order is like me, Phil, Jeffrey. We are the captains of the mobsters of Jefferson Avenue. But Tommy
is the wild card.
He's the wild card. Even though he's not in the older club, he can be invited in once in a while. All right. So he comes walking down the block. Now you see him coming. He's this tall, and you can see him down the street. And he's walking. You see his broad shoulders, little tiny waist, little tiny legs, his gym shorts, and that yellow soccer short. And he's and Jeffrey, I think you said something like
you told him he was short or something.
Yes. Yes,
you made fun of how tall.
You made fun of Tommy. You made, and dude, you said something like, "Well, you're short, best
munchkin."
And you could see Tommy's eyes already—they're starting to twirl. You know what I've seen? It. You ever see like in casino when the one guy wants the money from Pesci, and Pesci goes, "You know what? You know, how about you give me that cash or I take this hand and put through the fucking wall? How about I duck it?" You can see this is Tom. Now, Jeffrey, I'm not exaggerating, is at least twice as long.
Perfect height, so, I guess.
Let's say Tommy's 3 feet tall, Jeffrey's six. It's, and Jeffrey was put, dude, we were wearing mesh cut-off shirts.
Dude. No shirt with his gold necklace with the cross.
And we had those short shorts, you know, where they went up to your friggin', you know.
It was like two times a guinea. Two times a guinea.
There was definitely a time where Jeffrey was feeling his looks, boy. He had that cut-off mesh shirt. I'm not going to lie, I was jealous. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Comb his hair.
His hair was bad.
That's right. Right. He had the chains.
I had an afro, man. I don't know.
Well, you're sitting there and you're feeling your oats, right? And Tommy comes probably 30 feet, 40 feet. He comes to the edge of your grass and he's chewing his apple. And Phil, I don't know if we antagonized him.
We might have.
We might have said something.
You might have to take that.
Tommy, this was full blown Goodfellas. Like, whoa, yeah, Spider, this is for you. You want to take it from this guy? This guy thought you were short munchkin? Oh, what's this world coming to?
Get your shine box.
Go get your shine box. Tommy bit his apple and he looked at Jeffrey and he wound up and he threw that apple and it just, we watched it sail.
Yep.
And let me tell you something.
It was going.
Mm-hmm. All you heard was this. Like that. You heard that sound. Just like that. And Jeffrey just went pow. He hit him square in the nuts. Like if you want to take someone out, there's no better other place in the nuts. Like, this was his nuts. This is nuts, right? Here's his nuts. Like, this apple went. I've never seen anyone drop that hard. The best was.
And then he proceeded to run home.
And then he ran away. Right. Because you weren't going to catch him.
No, but this is the best part. Jeffrey's house had the screen door with the slider windows.
The jalousy glass.
Yeah.
They open like that.
If someone was standing behind there, you could just kind of see their image. You couldn't really see them in full.
Yep.
And so this is all I see. I see Jeffrey's mother come to the door, right? And this is like all I see. and Jeffrey's on the floor rolling. Like he can't breathe.
I'm crying.
And me and Phil are trying not to laugh. Oh my God. And we're going, Tommy, go home. Get out of here. Don't come out. Don't come out for at least 2 days. You're in at least 2 days suspension. You're not allowed out. You gotta get out. And all Jeffrey's on the floor. I just see this at Jeffrey's front door. And I hear Jeffrey's mom. Jeffrey. What are you doing? What happened? And you're like, mother, mom. I'm all right. Why are you on the floor, Jeffrey?
She never really came out, right? She would always yell for them to come to dinner. Jeffrey!
That was it. That you just yelled out the window.
Yeah, that's right.
Your father used to be behind that glass. And you would just see like the shadow, the silhouette of your father. And you're like, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey's dad was the funny. He'd be like, Jeffrey, get inside now.
Get away from the car and get in here.
Jeffrey, get inside now, Jeffrey.
But you wouldn't see him. You would just see a silhouette.
No, you just see this. Jerry.
His white t-shirt is the only thing you can see.
Right.
His That's white right. t-shirt and his belly.
Get in the house, Jeffrey. Get in the house. Get in the house. Dad, five more. Jeffrey, get in the house. Sorry, guys. I got to go.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
I got to get Tommy on here one time. People don't realize, we could talk about Tommy, where there was a time. Now, some of you saw me do this as a comedy routine where I did it as a piece of my stand-up, but it's dead true. All of it's true. And if you look up, I think it's my special called Hardcore, and look up the Tommy bit. And Duke, I think it's called Duke.
But we had this one field where we played, we had this dog, Duke. You know, the one dog on the block, and it was a big, long yard. And Duke was the dog that was nasty. You knew if he got out of that fence, you were gone. But you tease him to death knowing he can't. You drive on your bike past his gate.
Shut up.
But what sucked about Duke was every time we play, you know, every time we play stickball, we'd be in front of his house. So if you hit the ball into his yard, game is done. Jeffrey always hit in the yard. We were like, Jeffrey, don't swing on an inside pitch. Because if you hit in there, I'm going to punch you in the head.
All right, just hit it.
And so sure enough, one day he's hanging out, and Tommy's like, hey, can I play in the outfield? Tommy, just sit down. Bink! Jeffrey hits it into Duke's yard. We're like, Jeffrey, you suck! Come over here, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
And he knows a foul ball.
Get over here, I'm gonna punch you in the face. Punch him in the face over a 75-cent ball. But that's the way we lived, baby. He shouldn't have swung at an inside pitch. But the worst was, so now the ball goes in, and Tommy's like, before we can say anything, I'll get the ball! Like, Tommy, no! And he hopped over, and he starts running into the yard. I swear to God, I'm not even lying to you. And he starts running in, and Duke is nowhere to be found. We're like, Tommy! Tommy, watch out for Duke! Duke's like, get out of the yard! Get out of the yard!
I got the ball!
Tommy turned around, and Duke saw him. Duke went, what's up? Start running, Dick. I swear to you, now Tommy's only 6 years old, man. He's only this big, and he starts bulking it. It's like a movie. He's like, and we're like, Tommy, come on, hurry up, throw the ball over. Hurry up, hurry up, throw the ball over. Hurry up. Tommy's running. Duke, I swear in my life, I was never so scared in my entire life. Duke is not even barking. He's just at this. I'm gonna eat you to pieces and then crap on your face when I'm done. And I swear to you, Tommy's running. I got my hand out. Tommy, come on. Tommy, it was like a movie on my life. He slipped. And like his face hit the fence. We're like, oh no! And we all backed away because here's Duke. Duke stopped. And Tommy's like, He starts sniffing him. And then all of a sudden, Tommy gets up to make a break for it. Now, Tommy's only this big. Duke gets on his hind legs. I'm not lying to you. This is a horrible, horrible sight. I'm not even exaggerating. On my child's life, his two front paws grasp on to Tommy's shoulders, knock this poor kid to the ground, and starts dry humping the crap out.
And Duke, I think it's called Duke. So every summer, you know, we'd all play stick ball. Either we do slow pitch stick ball, or we go the dead end wall, or we play fast pitch stick ball. Billy was not a good ball player. Billy used to piss me off, man. He was so bad sometimes. I'm like, Billy, just, oh my God. Yeah,
a lot of autistic physicists that are good at baseball.
That's true. Not
usually their thing.
He was just too brilliant.
Yeah.
He was just all brains.
He was all brains.
Yeah. He's all brains. He was too smart, too brilliant.
But he knew his baseball cards, though. He might not have been played well, but he knew his baseball cards.
Yeah.
Remember when he had the baseball card show that he'd start doing?
Yeah.
He had some cards to each other. With the biggest morons.
And he was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Who the hell on Long Island in New York is a Pittsburgh Pirates fan?
I truly believe if you remember, Billy first liked the Phillies.
Yes.
Then he liked the Pirates. And I will tell you why.
Must have been a trade.
He hated that I kind of ruled the roost. And if you really think about it, I was always like, we root for the Mets and that's that. we root for the Cowboys and that's that. We listen to Judas Priest and that's that. Billy was like, yeah, no, I ain't listening to your bullshit. I'm smarter than you. And I really think he did it to agitate the living snot out of me. Because he knew psychologically. I know he knew psychologically that really pissed me off. And he couldn't take me physically. So he knew I had to take Jimmy down psychological wise.
Well, you stuffed him in a barrel. So, you know, you win.
Yeah. And as we're Priest fans, he was like the Doors fan. Remember we used to have the concerts in Phil's basement and we would all be like AK Downing or Tipton or whatever on Judas Priest and we'd have those concerts and he would do a Doors thing. Like weirdo. Even at the time, I'm a little kid and I'm like, wow, this is weird, you know?
Like a weirdo.
Phil, do you remember that's where we made up the band The Fourth Reich?
Yes. I do.
Wow. We're going to be full-blown metal.
Oh, yeah. We had full concerts. Air guitar, drums, singing, everything.
Yeah.
Full albums.
Yeah. I think we wrote the lyrics on your Commodore 64.
We used to play the Judas Priest album backwards to try and hear the demonic message.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who did the Ouija board?
Oh,
we did that in my basement at one time too.
We this is how corny we were.
I think that was the twins.
Another time, but the Ouija board we did. This is how corny we were into Judas Priest. We did a Ouija board, and of all the things we asked it, we said, when is the new Judas Priest album coming out? And we were like, oh my God, it's going to September. It's coming out September 21st, the new Judas Priest album.
I'll never forget the day you came home with the Screaming for Vengeance album and the Flock of Seagulls.
You were like, oh, the Flock of Seagulls. And I ran.
You went to your backyard. You took a portable phonograph in your backyard, and I think you played both of them in your backyard.
Wow!
Yeah.
Dude, that changed my whole thing.
I got to go under the desk for a second, okay? I got technical difficulties. Bear with me.
Please stand by.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That I tell everyone, that moment in time really changed a major path in my life. And I listened to both. And then I went, the minute I listened to Judas Priest, I went, Oh my God. I can't even take the flock of seagulls seriously ever again in my life. I mean, this the hair and the I'm done. Done.
Doesn't Screamervention start with the Hylian?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my God. And this is the best, right? I remember sitting on my porch. And I was really into the song Got Nothing Coming, which I said, that's my theme song for the rest of my life. That became my theme song. This is how I'm getting out of Jefferson Air. This is how I'm getting out of Valley Stream. One life, I'm going to live it up. I'm taking fight. Can't get enough.
You remember we went to the concert? You remember the concert? Defenders of the Faith tour? Madison Square Garden?
It was me, you, Jeffrey, Phil, Chris. Chris's dad brought us.
Yes. That one, yes.
While the garden was on fire, my father's sitting there with a polo shirt with his feet up in the air.
The heavy metal trampoline.
He said, guys, we got to go. He let us have that moment.
That's right. So Judas Priest, Madison Square Garden, towards the end, we start seeing all these, what we thought were like frisbees flying all over the place. Yeah. The hell is going on here? And then we start people ripping their seat cushions out,
cutting them out
like
passing knives around so that you could cut yours out,
right? And then just throwing it towards the stage.
And then they started lighting those seat cushions on fire.
Yeah.
And then you saw flaming seat cushions flying through the crowd.
Madison Square Garden. On fire seat cushions, and they're just everyone's enjoying the concert. Just fire foams flying everywhere. Me and Phil thought we were gonna be ninjas.
Throwing stars. Remember, we would throw them into the trees. We got boards.
Wait. Yard hopping at night, like in our outfits with our fold out knives and our shriekings and. It was ridiculous.
We had a lot of time, man.
We had a lot of time.
Yeah, we were out for fun.
That was fun.
I remember we would take our stars in my driveway.
Yeah.
Which I'm convinced it was like 3,000 yards. I know it was only like
10 feet.
I think
it was far.
It was pretty far. Was it? And if I remember... We were at the end of the street throwing those things, and we weren't far off from the targets after a while. But I also remember it was a wooden garage. I remember my father going, hey, and goddamn holes on that garage.
Well, every time you missed, it stuck to the garage door.
Me and Chris used to throw them in our closet. And we would open the closet and we'd have right in the wall.
Every size and shape and color.
I'd be so pissed if my kids did that, you know?
So would I. I'd kill them.
Yeah.
If I was outside, I saw my kids.
Take the fix?
Yeah, if I saw my kids putting holes in the garage by throwing shiny stars, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, is there something wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you? Why are you wearing a karate gi throwing shiny stars in a suburban neighborhood at a garage door? Seriously, what's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
What are you watching? I got my karate pants on throwing shiny stars. Oh, my God. I would take my kid and be like, all right, come with me. You come with me. Stick their head in the tub for 5 seconds. Are you with me yet? Oh my God. So I want to describe Billy real quick in front of everyone. So Billy, he is the big score here. We have to get Billy. Billy was so smart. He was so smart.
Like he's a rocket scientist. He's a rocket scientist now.
That's the best way to describe. At 12 years old, he was knocking on everyone's door and handing the adults business cards. I want you to think about who in your life you know that's 12 years old. These are 12 years. Like, you don't even have a full, you're not fully grown in your armpits. You're not shaving yet. You check yourself every day. You know, you're 12-year-old boy. You got zits on your chin. You just a maybe one on the side of the nose once in a while. You're a mess. You're a mess.
He kept all the records for the departing and landing flights out of JFK because it was over our area, and he had a notebook that he would log everything in with the tail signs. He'd get his binoculars, like, all right, you know, we'd have to pause games so he could log that.
And then he graduated into his tape recorder. The logging the book wasn't enough.
Yes.
He had to record the sounds coming over.
That's right. That's right.
And he narrated it. He would narrate it, right, Jim?
He's a lunatic.
So what they're saying is, so imagine yourself just on the street, right? You're all hanging out. Now every 3 minutes the airplanes would fly over our house. And we'd have to pause our conversation for like 30 seconds because you couldn't hear each other sometimes. Well, Billy hit a point where every time he came over, so if I'm talking to him, he'd go like this. And then that turned into he knew what the plane was. It's a DC-9, Eastern Airlines, Boeing. And then he started recording the time. Like, this is something you see in, like, you know, movies where, like, the genius at the end is the guy to, like, I think my kid needs help. And he's like, TWA 747 made by Boeing coming over at 3:03 p.m., landing at 3:07 p.m. on Tuesday, November 23rd.
Same plane every 3 days. Same plane every 3 days.
Eastern Airlines 727 is the special because it has two dual engines coming over. It's exactly 8:23 a.m. You're like, this kid, I don't know if this kid needs drugs or a pirate hat. We're going to help this kid.
But all we knew was it was interrupting our fun.
Just right in the middle of a ball game. Right in the middle of a ball game.
We would be playing. First of all, everyone, when 6 o'clock came, we knew, like, once Jeffrey was the only one that couldn't negotiate with his parents, could not negotiate. There was no negotiating. If Jeffrey went,
yep, gone.
There is no Jeffrey. I tried to bully Jeffrey. I threatened him with violence. Jeffrey, tell your mother. Mm-hmm. 10 more minutes. We can't end the game. It's still the bottom of the fourth. I still get my ups, man. You can't go in. So this is how intense we were. And every 10 seconds of playing, every minute, and Billy would come off the plate, and all of a sudden he'd step out of the plate and go, Pan American 747, 642 on Wednesday, June 23rd, 1975, which was cute three times. But when you, dude, I was like, I had such a foul mouth on me. I was 12 years old going, Jeffrey, get in the fucking box. I'm going to punch the shit out of you right now. I'm going to stick you in a headlight. I'm going to choke you out if you don't get the goddamn batter's box, man.
So we got to get two more outs to finish the fucking game.
Two more outs to finish the game.
We can't even finish a freaking game.
And this guy's staring at a 727 that comes over every 3 minutes.
He would keep the logbook on his front porch. I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. We used to play street hockey. What's street hockey? We wouldn't run. We had roller skates on. So we put our roller skates on, get all our equipment, and we'd be out playing roller hockey all day. Well, we played, you know, against each other. But then Tommy had these cousins on another street. So then it became, hey, they want to play you guys. That street wants to play yours. Washington Avenue wants to play Jefferson Avenue. And they're gonna kick your ass. They would always say, like, oh, they said they're gonna kick our ass.
Yeah. A lot of trash talking. A lot of bravado from a team that never wins.
That's right. Now, our team, clearly I'm the oldest by at least 1 or 2 years. I think their oldest was Ervolino, not Sam, the young one, John. So let's say I was 16. The oldest on their team was 14. However, it was all 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds. I was 16, but Phil was 14. Jeffy was 15. Wait a minute. No, it was like 16, 14. Jeffy was 13.
Yeah.
Chris was like 11. Tommy's like 8. Ilya's like 9. So we had these tiny kids. So we had like me, then 2 even, and the rest were small. Where at least they were all even. So now technically we would just beat the snot out of them. I mean, it wasn't fun. I mean, it really
was fun.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a lot. We had our own shirts. We did that. Yeah. However, one day, I think it was Tommy, maybe. Tommy might have said to me, "Jimmy, they're getting O'Gorman." I said, what does that mean? They're like, "You don't know who O'Gorman is? First of all, he's like a year or two older than you." And he went, and he's like the greatest. He's the Wayne Gretzky. He's the Hulk Hogan. He's the Tom Brady. He's the Hank Aaron. He is the man of all men when it comes to roller hockey. And like, okay, all right, well, that's fine. So we were all at the end of the street, like where our hockey field was. And down the street, get a picture, you're looking way down the street.
Yep.
All of a sudden, one by one, in a very confident manner. That's right. Jeff said the Washington Avenue kids come on our street. They're lifting their sticks. They're like, "We're coming for you." They totally have their hockey. I forgot about that, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
They're lifting their hockey sticks. And none of us are impressed. But then this kid, O'Gorman, comes in the street, and dude, he's doing figure skating stuff. He's doing spins. He's skating backwards. He's going forward, then backwards, then doing fake slap shots. He's twirling his stick around his back. He's throwing it up in the air, catch it behind it. We're all like, "Oh boy, okay." So I turned to Tommy, and I think I was like, "All right, Chris, just, you know, keep him away from the goal. Jeffrey, I need you on offense. I don't know who I put on offense." I'm like, "I'll be defense." I turned to Tommy. I said, "Tommy, listen to me. You got to take this guy out of the game. We're not gonna win this game unless you take this guy out." And like, just beyond him, like, I don't want him able to, I want him so annoyed at you at the end of the game. Cause you're just, I want you so on him, it's like hugging him. He can't take shots. He can't get you get now. As a teenager with a semi-developed brain, when I say take him out and beyond him and don't let him take shots, what I mean is you're playing defense. Wherever he goes, you're just nonstop on him. You're like a gnat. If he goes, you got to stick on. Do whatever you can. Tommy, in that mind he was, with the head, you know, the head smashed in the tree, nothing can hurt him, took it somewhere. He went full-blown Goodfellas. Full-blown Goodfellas before the movie even came out. And we go to line up. I think I have this story right.
And as we drop the puck, Tommy takes, this is like slow motion, takes his hockey stick, winds up, and he smashes old Gorman's shin. And old Gorman drops like Jeffrey getting hit in the nuts with an apple.
Tommy strikes again.
Yeah, he hears, all you hear is this, and this is hands hitting cement. Just his hand. And I just looked at Tommy and went, you got to get out of here.
And he skates away on his little metal skates.
Tommy had metal skates. So they were, everyone had roller skates. He had these little metal skates that didn't roll. So he'd run, and really he was just walking. All you hear is, and so Tommy's running. Everyone else is skating. We're going to kick your ass. Get that kid. I want to murder him. He's going on. He's going through people's bushes. He's running on people's grasses. We had old man Bill, who was senile with a robe and an underwear, smoking a cigar. Guard. Get off the grass.
Old Bill.
No, he said, he'd go like this. Get the hell out of here. That's what he would say.
Yeah. He'd be out in his robe with his nuts hanging out, walking his dog or something.
We'd have to go find him once in a while. Can you kids go look for Bill?
Bill.
Did I pass the paper boy to you?
You passed the paper out to me.
I did, and your brother passed it to me.
And then the buyers passed it to my brother. That paper route went down the chain until I got fired.
You got fired?
How did you get fired from being a paper boy?
Yeah, how did you get fired?
Because remember every Thursday they would give you those saturations that you had to go to give to the non-subscribers? We used to throw them out in the garbage can. We used to throw them out. So my boss came driving down the block, looked at my garbage can, and saw that I threw them out and fired them. And then my father and him had a big shouting match on the front lawn because he wanted to take my tips away.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So yeah.
Wow, that's a dicky move. You know what I love doing? I showed these guys too. You all got a video of the go-kart, right?
Yeah.
I can't find it, but I had one.
Well, thank God for Phil's father who has footage. I think that came from you, Phil, no?
Yeah.
So we'll show you the footage. There's Billy with the pirate hat, just raging against me. There's Phil with the far left. Chris is to Phil's right with the yellow shirt and the shorts. There's Dirty Craig. Oh, there's Sam. Oh, it's Chris's sister.
You got.
Oh, my God. Car. Phil's Nana.
Yeah.
That's my first car.
It's the dead end.
By the way, if you go on Jefferson Avenue, they cut all those trees down. Look at what we had.
Oh,
we had a trailer, and the front of it, there's Jeffrey who's steering it.
Yep.
Phil is right to the left. There's Richie in the back with his skate.
Multi.
Dirty Craig on the right. There's Tommy. Is that Tommy?
Yeah, Tommy's in the back.
No, that's Chris.
That's Chris right there.
That's Chris on the right.
Wait.
I don't think Tommy's in this one.
He is. He's inside.
Yeah.
There he is in the window. Look at Phil. He's throwing snaps. There's Tommy right there. Look at how small Tommy is next to Phil. And he was beating the snot out of people.
Phil, we're both friends.
That's your little nephew, Robert.
Yep.
Wow.
So this also goes back to how smart Billy was. Because Billy created a tractor trailer with a sprint cab and a separate.
Look, there's a compartment on the back.
Yeah.
There's Billy. There's the genius. Look at. If I remember, Billy, I don't remember how it came about that we should build a go-kart. And I know also we were all really into the Little Rascals. So we're kind of copying the Little Rascals. That big go-kart where he had the boxing glove on it, stuff like that, right? And if I remember, I feel like it took almost the whole summer. I feel like it took like 2 or 3 weeks to pull this off. And it wasn't just a couple days.
And Billy had a whole plan. He's like, okay, this is what it's he threw it out, like computer programmed it before they existed.
Right. He had a blueprint for it. He had a parts list.
Right.
He had the whole thing. We needed wheels. We needed cotter pins. We needed metal rods for the axles. We needed plywood. We needed
a steel. That you could probably get from Hook Creek.
And we got them everywhere.
Jim, you had a blue go-kart that we put in the front and we called it the Ducky Express.
Well, no, that your brother Bobby helped build that. I think he might have built the whole damn thing.
Who did?
Wasn't it Bobby?
There's two of them. There was the one, Phil, there was the one we built that had flames.
That's my father helped me build that one. It was black. It had spray painted flames on it.
Yes. And then we had the Ducky.
Yeah.
That was yours.
That was blue, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was blue, and there was like a little wooden duck on the end. Yes, why we call it Ducky.
Yeah,
and it was very simple. It was just a seat. Yep.
and the ropes
steer it, something like that. But I also remember, again, I crossed Billy.
Yes, you did, because you didn't build it. Your brother built it, and he was mad that you didn't do it. You had somebody do it for you.
You didn't build that go-kart.
That's exactly right.
What was the?
It was John. Oh, the Johnny Bench batter up.
Oh my God!
That one.
He gets a Johnny Bench batter up thing. So it's like a cement thing. What's that?
Yeah.
You hit it. You put it on a metal pole.
Yeah.
You hit it.
And you go bing, ying, ying, bing, ying, ying.
Yeah. We were in my backyard.
I don't know if I forced Jeffrey into the situation, which could have possibly happened. Jeffrey may say he asked me, but I'm sure I was behind the bushes because bushes divided me and Jeffrey's house. I'm sure I was on the bush, just staring in complete resentment and envy that he had something that I didn't. And I'm looking through the bushes and I go, Jeffrey, let me take a couple swings. And I don't know if he was like, well, my mom said, and I kind of distinctively remember going, I'm not going to swing that hard. He's like, well, you know, I don't know. My mom said, I really said, I'm not going to swing that. So, of course, I muscle my way through the bushes. I'm 2.5 years old at him. I'm 2 feet tall at him. I got hair in my sack. He's a baby. He's a baby. He's just getting little hair. I'm also working out my garage every day now. I'm thinking I'm hot stuff. And I purposely try to smash this ball off the lever. I know I did. It was not an accident. I purposely tried to murder this ball.
Yeah.
Well, I murdered it. And it went flying and smashed
the back bedroom window.
Yeah, the back window of Jeffrey's parents' window. And I just went. And I think I said, like, Jeffrey, you guys say that's your fault.
That sounds about right.
which definitely you can get away with on the street. You know, you're like, Jeffrey? That's your fault.
Nothing.
You made me come back here, and you saw that I didn't swing that hard.
Yeah.
And it fell off and broke your parents' window. So therefore, it's your fault. However, you're a kid, and then you're talking to your parents. You know, your parents are like, "What happened? You're buckling like Harvey Weinstein when he was pulled in to talk to the feds." I bribed a lot of women. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing you can do. So poor Jeffrey, you know, I'm sure he, and then, you know, his parents tell my parents, and I'm like.
I agree. Jim did it.
Yeah, he rolled right over.
I mean, what's he going to do? He rolled right over.
It was Jim. I didn't want him back.
He threatened me. He was on the other side of bushes, and he made me play. He's sick. I don't like being his neighbor. God, help me. Every time you make pizza, he asks for a bite and he eats the whole damn thing. Every time you make
my hand and stepped on it. I was just going to say that. Said, you're showing off.
He's such a small loser. You are
so I hate him.
Nobody else can have nice things. I'll tell you that right now.
I think where Jim was going with this is after he found out that I ratted on him.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody knows you're going to rat on him. You were a tattletale.
It says, I want you in my backyard apartment.
Well, now you're going to catch a beaver for it. Oh, yeah. You're going to pay. You need the tattletale for free.
You in no my backyard. And
oh, God. Oh, dude.
There was a pecking order. You have to stick with the pecking order, Jeff.
I'm like, what in the actual fuck?
You need to keep your mouth shut. Now you're going to learn a lesson.
You told your mother? Meet me behind my garage where no one can see what I'm about to do to you, Jeffrey.
I came to terms that we should, instead of calling this like Jefferson Avenue crew, we should call it I Was a Dick.
Whatever. Everybody was. I was below them. Everybody back in the day. That's how kids are. But it was still, I'll say this, what Chris said. Maybe all of us were dicks in our own way. I didn't have anyone to be a dick to, so not me. I still only have fond memories.
Me too.
Except for the butter popcorn farts, Chris.
Same here, man. Nothing but good memories.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, me too. I can honestly say. Oh, well, of course I do.
All kids are like that. You know?
No one threatened my life.
Regularly.
Of course. Yeah, no one threatened my life regularly. So, yeah, I have great memories.
1984, 4th of July.
Yeah, what's that?
I think 1984, 4th of July. I think that's where we all pulled together
the last
and ordered the fireworks from North Carolina in the mail, and they actually came. And we had the block party, and everybody's like, all the parents are all jacked up. And all day we were in the pool, and then we're out in the street.
We bought model, little plastic model cars and planes.
Yes.
Put them together, and then blew them up later.
Blew them up.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Jim, didn't you have a brown bag full of fireworks that we didn't know what was in it, and you just lit the bag on fire, and we ran? Does anybody else have a memory of this?
I don't have a memory of that. I didn't do it.
We didn't know.
I have a memory of that, but I have a funny feeling that sounds like something a buyer would do.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I remember Bill Kirshner being up on the pole.
Yeah.
And putting a pinwheel on it.
Pinwheel.
And then he couldn't get down fast enough, and it kind of lit.
Yes, and he got him. Fire. Yeah, a little bit.
And then Chris Harper put us up for sale. Our parents put us up for sale on the front porch. Remember, out on the lawn?
My kids.
Kids for sale and sat us all out there in chairs.
What did you do to do that? You had to do something, all of you.
Dude, we were six kids in the same house. That was rough.
Yeah, all was around the same age. They're all like 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Just merging two families, all the same age kids.
And your one poor girl. Sister. Your poor sister. I felt so bad for even then.
The loner,
you monsters.
Clem used to come running upstairs because me and Chris used to sneak into the younger kids' room and mess with him. And he'd come running, and we'd run him back to the bunk beds. And man, he would.
We'd play full court hockey in the hallways up and up.
Yeah.
Remember the little mini hockey sticks?
Yeah.
We'd set
remember the wall?
Into the wall?
Yeah, we did. And that wood panel wall, somebody's head went through it. I can't remember who it was. It was like destroying a house.
We had a lot of good times, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
We'll do this again.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, seeing you guys.
Boys, it has been a pleasure to see everybody.
And Chris, tell Clem I said hey.
You got it. Absolutely.
Tell me all said
tell
hey.
Me, yeah, absolutely.
I'll be calling him tomorrow. He'll be laughing when I tell him.
Tell him Judas Priest. letting us watch what letting us watch them attempting to burn the place down.
Bring that up, and he laughs about it. I mean, think about it. He sat there in his polo shirt. The place is burning, and we're all jumping around, and he just let us have our fun. He never said, "Come on, we got to get the hell out of here."
He knew it. He sized up that crowd. He knew everyone was a jackass.
That was normal in New York in 1984.
Yeah, he knew everyone was a jackass. He knew the out.
That was awesome. That was awesome. But yeah, as soon as you guys want to do it again, let me know.
Sounds good. Have a good one, you guys.
All right, guys. Love you all.
My head hurts from laughing. It's weird to reflect and really weird to look back on your life as a child. You wonder if anything like that can exist today. And we really just, we had our own rules. We did our own things. And yet here we are, no matter what we did, no matter how many arguments, how many things we had that were right or wrong or differences, all that stuff. Here we are 45, 50 years later, still laughing about those moments in time. I hope you all have really good memories of moments in time. Because thank God to that crew, Phil, Jeffrey, Billy, Tommy, Ilya, Chris, everyone that was involved. Those are incredible moments in time. Thanks for hanging out with Brewers. Take a look around and what do you see?
Mark the date down tonight. We'll make it history. Hey, this is Jim Brewer, and I got my own Patreon page, and hopefully you'll check it out. Live comedy concert streamed once a month. Weekly, you host your own podcast, and you interview me. Early access to the Bruniverse podcast every single week, and I have bonus footage and bonus segments. I promise you, I'm not going to let you down. Go check out my official Jim Brewer Patreon page, and I'll see you there.